From WGCU News, I'm John Davis. This month marks 48 years since the Beatles finished recording what would be their last album as a band, Abbey Road. Along with the album's iconic cover, songs like Come Together and Here Comes the Sun are firmly etched into the memory of our collective culture and continues to transcend generations of new listeners. However, during a recent listening session, News Press storyteller Amy Bennett-Williams says something that distinctively stood out to her was the ambient melody of crickets leading into the song Sun King. The album's title refers to the Abbey Road Studios, then called EMI Studios, where the Beatles recorded almost all of their songs. But what type of crickets were used for that recording, and where were they recorded? An effort to answer those questions led Williams to a Florida entomologist who has worked to maintain a rather definitive audio collection of songs from all manner of cricket varieties, as she tells us in this week's essay.
For the last few decades, whenever the subject of the Beatles came up, I would sniff dismissively. Ugh, I hate 'em, I'd declare. A categorical rejection that generally surprised my listener. Out-and-out hatred of the Beatles, at least for someone of my generation, was a puzzling kind of iconoclasm, especially to those who'd done much thinking about rock and roll history. But I see now it was a statement born more of saturation and delivered mostly for effect. It's just that the culture was so permeated with their music when I was a kid. As far as I was concerned, I never needed to hear another Beatles song again. So, after years and years of ignoring them, I can hear the universe chuckling at me now. My youngest son has discovered the Beatles and is as passionately taken with them as I was put off. The other day in the car, his remastered Abbey Road CD was in the middle of that medley right before Sun King. Listen, he told me breathlessly, how one song just melts into the other, linked by the crickets. It sounds like a dream. It's perfect. Actually, I had been listening, and I might add, hastily revising my position on the Beatles. That's lovely, I thought to myself, that little touch of insect elision, as I wondered exactly where those crickets were recorded almost 40 years ago and what sort of crickets they were. Certainly they weren't mole crickets, the pale, horsey critters that my roosters occasionally scratch up. Whenever they come across one of them, the birds are visibly taken aback. Easily, big as a baby's thumb, they're too large to make a tidy beakful. So after a few pro forma pecks, the roosters usually just step over them and go on about their business. All of which might amuse Thomas J. Walker, Dr. Cricket, professor emeritus at the University of Florida in Gainesville. This distinguished entomologist made a career of studying mole crickets and their brethren and has produced one of the most fascinating collections I've come across, an online catalog of life histories and sounds of hundreds of the tiny beasts with names ranging from the poetic to the whimsical, Western stutter-trilling cricket, obscure cricket, leechy bush cricket, damp-loving field cricket, Badlands cricket, mangrove ground cricket, confused cricket, and, my favorite, the slow-tinkling sword-tailed cricket. Over his distinguished career, Walker studied and discovered new species while pioneering innovative research methods. One time, taking a late-night drive to the Keys on US 1, he had the windows rolled down and caught a cricket song he had never heard before. He stopped, donned a miner's-style headlamp, and plunged into the underbrush, a man in search of a mystery, a singer that turned out to be a Jamaican field cricket, heretofore unknown in Florida. Catching his quarry was easier than you might think, he said. You just try to stay quiet and keep them singing, then rotate around and spiral in on them. Some are always quicker than the hand, of course, but clapping a wide-mouthed peanut butter jar usually does the trick. For the extremely shy and retiring types, his secret weapon was oatmeal. You just dribble a long stream of it, lay a trail all around where the cricket is, and when it crosses it, it will stop and eat. Crickets apparently relish oatmeal. You can usually get them that way, he told me. Walker has nothing against knowledge for knowledge's sake, yet this former Ohio farm boy is quick to point out that his work has practical value, too. Some of these things are quite economically important, like the millions of dollars spent on mole cricket control in turf grass. So as fun as it is to find out new things, if you're not contributing something to society while you do, it's hard to get paid. And there's another thing, he told me. Although he did confess ignorance of the Abbey Road crickets, many of the songs these crickets sing are quite musical to human ears. Obviously, the boys in the band recognized what my own country boy knows, too. The Beatles alone weren't enough to make Abbey Road perfect. They needed crickets, too.